Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Daniel Rosehill, based in Jerusalem, reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to the evening edition of SITREP Israel, our automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Saturday, the 23rd of May, 2026, at 18:30 Israel time, 15:30 UTC. Hezbollah quadcopters hit Iron Dome platforms as US-Iran ceasefire extension nears and France bans Banji Guru, May 23rd, 15:30 UTC, 18:30 Israel, evening edition. Bottom line up front, Hezbollah launched coordinated quadcopter strikes on Israeli Iron Dome platforms in the Western Galilee today, while the IDF struck Hezbollah sites in the Bekaa Valley and Tyre overnight. The US and Iran are reportedly close to a 60-day ceasefire extension that would include a gradual reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, with Pakistan's army chief mediating in Tehran. France banned Israeli National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir over his treatment of Gaza flotilla activists, and an IRGC-linked operative was extradited to the US for plotting to assassinate Ivanka Trump. Hezbollah claimed direct hits on two Iron Dome platforms at the Raman barracks using Abibil quadcopters, triggering sirens in the Western Galilee. The IDF confirmed an impact in Adamit and a hostile aircraft infiltration near Metla, with no injuries reported. The US-Iran diplomatic track saw Pakistan's army chief holding talks in Tehran, while France's ban on Ben-Gvir came with a push for EU sanctions. Now, turning to the regional sections, in Iran, the diplomatic track dominated the day. Pakistan's army chief, Field Marshal Asim Munir, held what the Pakistani army described as brief and highly productive meetings in Tehran. He met with Foreign Minister Abbas Araki and Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, who told him Iran would not back down from its national rights and that the US could not be trusted. Ghalibaf said Iran would pursue its legitimate rights with intelligence and strength on the diplomatic front, just as on the battlefield. Araki also spoke by phone with his Omani counterpart, with both stressing the importance of resuming free and safe navigation. Qatar's foreign minister expressed support for diplomatic efforts in a separate call with Araki. The Financial Times reported, citing mediators, that the US and Iran are close to extending the ceasefire by 60 days with a gradual reopening of the Strait of Hormuz as part of the package. A diplomatic source told Al Arabiya that Iran offered Pakistan two draft proposals, including opening the strait in exchange for US compensation payments and discussing sanctions and frozen funds before any agreement is signed. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmail Bakke said the US has no role whatsoever in the Strait of Hormuz and that the priority is ending the imposed war on Iran. He described the talks as progressing slowly due to shifting US positions. Iran's UN mission accused Washington of excessive demands pushing peace talks toward collapse, while the White House said President Trump keeps all options on the table. Reports indicate Trump is frustrated with the pace and has reviewed possible targets for new strikes, though no decision has been made. On the military side, Iran's army emphasized its readiness for a decisive and all-out confrontation with any threat. The IRGC Navy said it allowed 25 vessels, including oil tankers and container ships, to pass through the Strait of Hormuz in the past 24 hours under its coordination and security protection. However, the TLDR Iran SITREP reported that Hormuz transits remained at 0% of pre-war levels, with a 7-day average of 2%. In political statements, President Masoud Pezeshkian stressed that securing the legitimate and lawful rights of the Iranian people remains Tehran's primary objective in negotiations. Iran's ambassador to the UN said Persian Gulf states and Jordan bear responsibility for assisting the US and Israel in their aggression against Iran. Separately, an IRGC-trained Iraqi operative, Mohammed Bakir Saad Dawood al-Saadi, was recently arrested in Turkey and extradited to the US for allegedly plotting to assassinate Ivanka Trump in retaliation for the 2020 killing of Qasem Soleimani. Al-Saadi, a Qataib Hezbollah operative, also allegedly carried out attacks on Jewish targets. Moving to Lebanon, the quadcopter strikes were the headline, but several other developments filled out the picture. Hezbollah's military media issued a series of statements claiming the coordinated strikes, saying it targeted two Iron Dome platforms in the Ramin barracks with a Babylon attack quadcopters and achieved confirmed hits. It also claimed a direct hit on an Israeli engineering vehicle in Bint Jabal with another quadcopter. Israeli media reported sirens in the Western Galilee, including Shlomi and Betzet, and residents of Shlomi said they heard an explosion after the siren sounded. Smoke was seen rising from an IDF military site in the Western Galilee after the reported drone strike. The IDF confirmed the impact of a suspicious aerial target in Adamet and said sirens in Mechila and Shtula were triggered by hostile aircraft infiltration, with the incidents under review. Overnight, Israeli fighter jets struck an underground Hezbollah compound in the Bekaa Valley used for weapons manufacturing, as well as infrastructure sites in Tyre, from which the IDF said terrorists planned and executed attacks against soldiers. The IDF said steps were taken to mitigate civilian harm, including advance warnings and precise munitions. Lebanese media reported at least 5 killed, with severe damage to a hospital in Tyre. A drone strike also targeted a vehicle in Marab, southern Lebanon. Israeli aircraft bombarded the towns of Jibshit and Sar al-Gharbiya, with reports of a massacre in Sar al-Gharbiya after an airstrike on a house during a condolence gathering killed children and women. In other incidents, 5 Israeli civilians crossed the border into Lebanese territory by a few meters. IDF soldiers returned them to Israeli territory and detained them until police arrived, condemning the incident as a criminal offence endangering civilians and soldiers. Hezbollah said it received a message from Iranian Foreign Minister Araki reaffirming Iran's continued support and insisting that Lebanon be included in any US ceasefire or war-ending agreement. Israeli drones were reported flying over Beirut's southern suburbs. In Gaza, an Israeli airstrike on a Hamas police post in the north killed at least 5 police officers and wounded others, according to a local hospital. The IDF said troops of the Paratroopers Brigade and 14th Brigade operating in southern and northern Gaza identified and eliminated several terrorists who crossed the yellow line and approached troops, posing an immediate threat. In the West Bank, Israeli settlers stormed the outskirts of the village of Obawin, northern Ramallah, and opened fire on Palestinians. Separately, 23 deaf and mute Israelis were extracted from Nablus after being invited for lunch by a local resident. They were detained by Palestinian security forces and transferred to Israeli forces. In another incident, 6 Israelis who rented a villa in Jericho were rescued by police and civil administration forces after residents reported hearing shouts in Hebrew. On the multilateral track, the ceasefire mediation efforts saw Pakistan's army chief in Tehran and Qatar's Emir speaking with President Trump. France banned Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir from entering its territory and urged EU sanctions after footage showed him abusing detained activists from the Global Summit Flotilla. French Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot said France would not tolerate threats or abuse against its nationals. In other diplomatic moves, Slovenia's parliament appointed right-wing politician Janessa, a strong ally of Israel, as the new prime minister. Over 1.5 million Muslim pilgrims have arrived in Mecca for the annual Hajj, surpassing 2025 numbers despite the regional war. And Turkish and Syrian officials detained 10 individuals with alleged ISIL ties for involvement in terrorist attacks in Turkey. Moving to the analysis. First, the trend. The tempo of kinetic exchange between Israel and Hezbollah has accelerated sharply in this window compared to the prior 7 days. Earlier, satraps described drone infiltrations and sporadic border clashes. But the current reporting marks a qualitative shift. Hezbollah is now explicitly targeting Iron Dome platforms with precision quadcopters, and the IDF has escalated to striking an underground weapons production site deep in the Bekaa Valley. The protagonist set remains the same, but Hezbollah's operational ambition has grown, moving from harassment to degrading Israel's defensive architecture. This is not a flattening trend, it is an upward inflection in both the intensity and the strategic character of the Lebanon front. On the information environment, Hezbollah's military media is driving a narrative of successful, precise strikes on high-value Israeli air defense assets, framing the quadcopter attacks as a new capability that bypasses Israeli defenses. The IDF's narrative, by contrast, emphasizes its own deep strikes in Lebanon, while downplaying the drone impacts as causing no injuries. The gap between reporting and underlying evidence is widest around the Iron Dome claims. Hezbollah asserts confirmed hits, while the IDF only acknowledges an impact in a bayabet without specifying the target. Iran's diplomatic messaging ties Hezbollah's operations to the ceasefire talks, insisting Lebanon must be included in any deal, a framing that positions Hezbollah's military pressure as a bargaining chip. Western media are focused on the diplomatic track, largely ignoring the escalation in Lebanon, except as a footnote, and the synthesis, Hezbollah's shift to targeting Iron Dome platforms is not merely tactical. It is a deliberate signal that the group can impose costs on Israel's most critical defensive systems, thereby eroding Israeli public confidence and military deterrence even as ceasefire talks progress. The timing is precise. The attacks coincide with reports of a nearing US-Iran ceasefire extension, suggesting Hezbollah is acting as Iran's kinetic lever to ensure Lebanon's interests are not sidelined. A counter-reading might argue the attacks are independent Hezbollah operations unrelated to the diplomatic track, but the explicit Iranian message to Hezbollah reaffirming support and demanding Lebanon's inclusion in any deal reported simultaneously makes the coordination clear. The pattern indicates Iran is using Hezbollah to shape the diplomatic outcome, not just react to it, and to wrap up the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions. Three indicators to watch. First, check Sentinel 1 IWGRD over the Ramin Barracks area for the next descending pass on May 24th at approximately 3:45 UTC to assess visible damage to Iron Dome platforms from Hezbollah's claimed quadcopter strikes. Second, monitor flight radar 24 for any commercial vessel transiting the Strait of Hormuz in the next 48 hours to verify the IRGC Navy's claim of allowing 25 vessels passage and gauge actual reopening progress. Third, track the posting cadence of the Telegram channel Bin Jabal News over the next 24 hours for any additional footage or claims of damage to IDF sites in the Western Galilee following the quadcopter attacks. Now, looking at these through a status quo lens, within 48 hours, the IDF will conduct additional airstrikes on Hezbollah drone launch sites in southern Lebanon, but will not escalate to a full-scale ground operation. The US-Iran ceasefire will be extended by 60 days before the current expiration, with an announcement by Tuesday, May 26, and no resumption of direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange will occur before May 36. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, Hezbollah will successfully damage or destroy an Iron Dome launcher in the next 72 hours, confirmed by satellite imagery, prompting Israeli strikes on Beirut's southern suburbs with low confidence. The US will launch a limited strike on an IRGC drone facility in eastern Iran within 72 hours after Trump reviews target options, citing frustration with the pace of talks with low confidence. And France's ban on Ben-Gvir will trigger a diplomatic crisis, leading Israel to recall its ambassador to Paris within 48 hours with low confidence. That concludes this Esser trap. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitreps. This is Daniel Rosehill signing off from Jerusalem.